It's time to meet up and catch up at the Weekend Water Cooler. Now, here's your host, Gene Bolduc.
Welcome to the Weekend Water Cooler here on week two of our Needs No Introduction interview with the incomparable Ron Stutz.
So much nonsense in the first show, you couldn't get it all in an hour.
I couldn't get it all. I couldn't squeeze it all in. There isn't. I don't have one. I don't have the kind of compression, mechanism that would squeeze that all into a toothpaste tube that would only be contained in one. That's why you get the two pack. Mm-hmm. See that?
And so now you made
that's not a music reference.
You made the mistake that. You're going to give me another hour of airtime?
Because Ron Stutz needs one more hour.
Yeah. I'm not on the radio
Chapel
enough.
Hill, of Chapel Hill airtime. Well, I'm so happy to have the opportunity to talk to you about things that just don't pop up on your show.
Oh, yeah.
Because even though people listen to you all the time, it's usually not about you.
Yeah, it was fun in our last conversation because there was
a lot of stuff
I don't really ever talk about, you know.
And I know. It's like, you know, I should have that guy at the beginning of the show who says, last week on the water cooler.
Well, you're such an excellent interviewer. You just drag all this stuff out.
I drag all that stuff out. So,
that's right.
Yeah, so the district attorney is waiting out there for all the crimes that you've admitted to.
Yeah, well, the statute of limitations, you know, is involved with that.
Well, I happen to know the district attorney. You know Jeff Niemann. You know the district attorney.
Yes, I do.
The assistant district attorney, Jeff Niemann. Well, I'll tell you something about Jeff Niemann. This is how we go, right off the edge.
Yeah, I know.
Aaron and I have this experience
off on
all
a tangent here, folks.
Jeff Niemann, I've known Jeff Niemann since he was a kid.
Mm-hmm.
We went to Bill Clinton's inauguration, his first inauguration in 1993.
Yeah.
Jeff Niemann rode to that event in the backseat of my car.
Wow.
And he was among 40 kids who were in one way or another connected to this teacher who organized this crazy field trip of his class and other kids that he had coached in soccer and so forth. And we all went to Bill Clinton's inauguration, and Jeff Niemann rode in my backseat. So I have dirt on him that I'm going to hold on to until I get arrested for something.
Good idea.
Okay.
Then you can use his leverage.
You just don't know when you're going to need it.
Yeah.
I'm never going to have a speeding ticket.
I know Jeff, too. I have not known him since he was a kid, but, you know, I talk to him all the time. Sometimes he'll call in with the answer to a trivia question.
Really?
And Jeff knows.
He knows a lot of trivia.
A lot about everything. I mean, he even knows that Quick Draw McGraw was a, what kind of animal?
Quick Draw McGraw, I'm going to say was a dog, but
no,
I'm not sure.
Quick Draw McGraw was a horse.
Was a horse.
And his little buddy was Baba Louie.
Oh, man.
You know that?
No, I wouldn't have come up with that.
Jeff Niemann knew that.
How would he know that?
I don't know.
He's younger, way younger than
I am. He's just a multi-talented individual, you know, and a good guy.
Well, and he's a good guy. Yeah, you know, that. You don't know when that's going to come up in court, right?
Yeah, exactly. And Jeff, please remember that I said that because if I ever get in trouble,
that's right.
I want you on my side.
When you're on the side of the road and you're going to say, officer, you know, not to get too personal, but do you know what kind of animal Quick Draw McGraw is?
And officer, I know Jeff Niemann, so
yeah,
please go easy on me.
My very good friend Jeff Niemann knows the answer to this question. We could call him right now if you like. He'll know.
I hope Jeff Neiman's listening to this show today.
Yes, and as well as the chief of police in Chapel Hill.
Oh, yeah.
We should maybe be alerted to this little stunt when you're pulled over.
And Chris Blue, don't pay any attention to her. She's lying.
I'm lying. That's right.
And don't mention Charles Blackwood either, okay?
No, not at all. Hey, you know, listen, I've been watching the filings. He hasn't filed yet for sheriff.
Yeah.
He better file.
Yeah, he better.
He's the greatest.
Yeah, he is. He's awesome.
Talk about Renaissance man.
Yeah.
Charles Blackwood.
Yeah, he's a good dude.
He is wicked smart.
Yeah.
He is quiet and unassuming.
He works hard.
He works his tail off is what he does.
He communicates.
He communicates
better than anybody.
Better than anybody, and he is so smart, so well-read, and can dance.
Yeah, and he told me that he's also good-looking.
He's probably, you know, probably somebody told him that. My question, Sheriff, is, was that person on the side of the road about to get a ticket? Because, you know, that could matter. I mean, was it Jeff Niemann trying to get out of trouble or, you know?
They made the mistake of not asking you about Quick Draw McGraw.
That's right.
And decided to go
really
there and flatter you
instead. Because you really could have used that.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, you know, he is such a fascinating person. And, boy, if you're listening, Sheriff, when are you coming on the water cooler, by the way?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, he'd be a good interview subject.
He would. We can just, take him and lock him up and throw away the key and make him answer a few questions.
Yeah, exactly.
Let's shine the bright light on him like I have on you right now.
How in the world have we fallen so far off the cliff?
I don't know.
Gosh.
What were we here to talk about? Oh, that's
right. I don't
even
know.
You work here at the station, don't you?
Yeah. I've been known to frequent this place once in a while.
You drop in from time to time.
Yeah.
Almost every day since 1977 or so.
Just once in a while.
So, and we talked in our previous program about how it is that you stumbled your way to Chapel Hill.
Yeah.
You know that joke about the guy who, by the way, was pulled over for getting a speeding ticket and the cop says to him, "I've been waiting for you all day." And the kid says, "I got here as fast as I could." So you weren't born in Chapel Hill, but you got here as fast as you could.
I did.
Kind of like I did. I did too. I got here the year after you did. I came here in 78.
It was a good destination, wasn't it?
Right. Because somebody in Connecticut said to me, you know, Ron Stutz is at CHL now.
Oh, yeah. I'm sure that was it.
You're sure that's what happened?
But I'm glad we both ended up here. I mean,
yes,
it really is a good place to be.
We did. And when I came to Chapel Hill, I first lived at Pine Gate Apartments right across from Blue Cross and right down the street from where you worked at that wonderful little house that used to be WCHL.
I lived in Pine Gate for a while.
Did you really?
When I first came here, I went to – it was Broadmoor Apartments.
Okay.
Which is like something else now. I don't know what it's called, but it was – not good. So there was a lot of crime going on around there.
Oh,
and
gosh.
This was like on the way to Durham. And one night I came home from being – I think I had gone to an Atlantic Coast Conference tournament or something. And I was driving in from out of town. And I got home to my apartment complex at 2 a.m. I remember that pulling in. And we had one of those community mailbox locations.
Right, right.
And so got my mail and then went home and then found out the next day that somebody had been killed in the parking lot where I parked sometime between the hours of midnight and 4 a.m.
And you checked to see if it was you, right?
And the mail the mailboxes were right next to the laundromat.
No way.
And this started there. Some guy was trying to steal money out of the – and a security guard came up. Security guard killed. So anyway, I got out of there as soon as I could.
Yeah.
And then I went into an apartment at Pine Gate, lived there for a while.
Yep.
Then lived at Foxcroft for a while.
Right. Which is right down the street from Pioneer, right?
Yeah. And I was working at the radio station, so it was really convenient.
Yeah, very.
1721 East Franklin is where we were.
Right.
Know?
And I think the first time I was at WCHL was in the late 80s.
Mm-hmm.
And I had just started on the Human Relations Commission, came into WCHL. And was interviewed, I want to say, by Angela Hampton or somebody. I think she was doing the juggling act that it was to be working at the radio station at that time. And she told me off air that you know, everybody does something at this station. I mean, you know, I clean the carpets and, you know, and whatever. It was just like it was a real mom and pop shop at that time.
And then she went on to become a TV star, Channel 11, for years.
Absolutely. And I think she's the assignments editor there now or something.
No, I don't think she's there anymore. She's really into polo these days. She and her husband and I think she has a daughter and they're into polo.
I see pictures every now and then. You know everybody.
Well,
and you remember everybody.
Not
but
really.
She was a big talent, though.
Yeah, she
got
was.
Her start at WCHL. That happens a lot,
and
does it not?
And a very nice person. Yeah,
yes.
We've had a lot of wonderful people come through the
radio
station.
So drop some names. Who are the big names that have come out of WCHL? And don't worry about forgetting somebody. You can edit them in later.
Oh, I'll always forget somebody. The names I used to hear about when I first came to work at WCHL were Charles Kuralt,
right.
Once worked there.
Right.
Jim Lampley.
No kidding. I didn't know that.
He worked at WCHL. Let's see. Bill Walker, who went on to anchor the news at WSOC-TV in Charlotte for many, many years, now retired. Let's see here. Bob Holliday, I worked with for a few years before he left.
At Channel 5.
And he was at Channel 5
for
forever, and he's retired now. Safety still does some stuff for them.
Right.
Wonderful guy.
Right.
Warren Levinson left just right after I came in and went to work with the Associated Press in New York, and he's still there.
Good grief.
Gosh, all kinds of people. I know Larry Keith worked there for a while. He went on to write for Sports Illustrated for many years. A lot of folks. Helen Little came there and worked part-time at WCHL in the 80s, and now she's like she's got the biggest share of radio audience of anybody in the country. She works in New York City. I forget the call letters at the station, but she does middays there, and she's wonderful, wonderful.
That's fantastic.
Who knew that was going to happen?
Yeah.
And, you know, we've had so many great people come through, And a lot of people worked at WCHL for a short period of time and then moved on to something else. And
right.
and that's kind of the way the station was designed and
right.
to be.
Right,
and
right.
Because you take advantage of all this incredible talent coming out of the university.
Sure.
I was kind of the anomaly to all that. I mean, you know, I came here not as a student, but as somebody just to work at the radio station and stayed. And, you know,
you're like that damn Yankee guest, right?
Yeah, I mean, that was like you're running against the grain, you know, so somehow I'm still here after all these years. So, you know, but a lot of
we're going to try to figure that
phenomenal
out.
People.
Yeah.
You know, seriously.
They all make you look good, too.
Well, yeah, I mean, they say the key to success is surround yourself with good people and let them do what they want to do. And that's kind of I've been around a lot of good people around here. So, hey. Well, I don't do much.
Not a coincidence, Ron.
I show up and talk. You
That's
know?
Right. You show up and talk, and then they go on and do great things, and you go, yeah, well, I trained that guy. I totally trained that guy. I taught him everything. I mean, you know, what did Bill Curtis know before I, you know, taught him how to announce things on the radio?
Well, I guess I was lucky enough to be in the right place at the right time, and the osmosis factor.
That's right.
Figured in because
it's a scientific concept.
They
kids,
all rubbed off on me.
That's right.
You know,
that's right. You
so
just
I learned
absorbed
something.
It. You absorbed it.
Try to learn something from all of them.
Sponge.
Yeah, that's right.
We're going to be back and talk some more with the sponge. That
oh, is this part of the conversation
Ron,
already?
Ron
over?
The sponge.
Wow.
Ron the sponge.
SpongeBob.
SpongeBob. Sponge Ron Stutz. I think that's what we're talking about, basically.
Wow.
Here at Bikini Bottom.
Boy.
Yeah. At WCHL. That's
I have
right.
really progressed.
Oh my goodness. It's just yeah. You just keep your seatbelts on, kids, because it's going to get even more exciting from here.
Oh, I can't wait.
We're going to be back with more on the water cooler and Ron Stutz. And, somebody hit record because this is going to be – I think this is going to be a keeper.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I think definitely so. So we'll be back in just a few minutes. You're listening to 97.9 The Hill.
Do it live.
We'll do it live. We're going to try to do it live.
We'll
we're
do it live.
We're acting here on the water cooler like we're doing it live. We're not, but we're trying to behave as though we are. Talking to Ron Stutz.
Standing
on the
up
weekend
in a rage.
Water cooler. He's going to stand up and rip off his
rip
shirt.
Rip my jacket
and
off.
Do it live.
Do it live.
Yeah. So we're back on the water cooler. So we're talking about, so you've arrived at Chapel Hill and you've worked with everybody who's famous. And what I want to ask you, I have some things to ask you.
Uh-oh. This is where it gets serious.
It's a little tiny bit serious.
Okay.
I want to ask you to brag for just a minute about working with the great Woody Durham, who I know you must know pretty well. You know, I just can't even imagine. It's hard for me to relate to all these years of enjoying Carolina sports without the voice of Woody Durham. It's hard for me to adjust to being without it.
Yeah.
You know, Woody's struggling with a. A disease process that's taking his voice, and you lost your voice for a while. That you had a very particular throat problem, and I wonder if you would talk a little bit about how that was for you, but also if you can kind of work it into how it was working with Woody. Because I mean, man. What a voice.
What an icon.
Yeah.
Well, first of all, before I forget to mention this.
You have about 3 minutes, so take all the time you need.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Thank you. Before I forget to mention this, Jones Angel, who is the new voice of the Tar Heels, is outstanding.
Absolutely fantastic.
Jones is absolutely great.
Just fantastic.
And he was the natural person to – I remember when Woody was retiring and they were trying to decide who the next voice of the Tar Heels was going to be.
Uh-huh.
I remember sending Jones a note and saying, man, obvious choice. It's you.
Yeah.
Yep. You know, and he's proven that to be correct because he's really good, really talented guy.
I completely agree. I only bring up my nostalgia about this because that was so much my introduction to moving here from New England and everyone saying, oh, well, if you're going to be crazy about – if you're going to watch Carolina basketball, here's how to do it.
Well,
put on the TV, mute the sound, and put on WCHL.
Yeah, exactly. Well, let me just say that Woody, during all that time, he was the voice of the Tar Heels. 40 years broadcasting Carolina football and basketball games.
Right.
Just an amazing job, amazing memory of statistics and
right.
you know, where everybody's from and all that kind of thing.
Yeah.
Did a wonderful job painting a picture of what was happening
Absolutely.
In front of you. I had the opportunity to work for 8 years with Woody inside the building. He would come in and do sports every morning. And I remember particularly he was in one room. I was in the control room. He was in another studio. And David Medlock, for a good portion of that time, was the news director. He was in a third room. But we could all see each other through the glass.
Right.
So it was like instant communication all the time.
Right.
And, you know, I enjoyed working with Woody all that time.
Yeah.
And the interesting thing is that, you know, around Chapel Hill, we take a lot of things for granted. I mean, yeah. You might actually see Michael Jordan walking down the street one day. And
right.
People here don't go crazy when that happens.
Right, that's right.
And people don't really go crazy when they see Woody or some other famous person.
Right.
Because we're kind of used to it, you know.
Yeah.
But
well, I think it's true, too, that people respect their privacy and their sense of,
exactly.
of personal space. Like, look, you know, I know everybody knows who I am, but, you know, I live here. And
yeah.
I'm just here to pick up my lunch or eat in this restaurant. And I live here like you do. And
yeah.
Yeah, I think it's some of that. I think
yeah,
it's just
exactly.
a respect for their citizenship, if you will.
It's like, I don't want to mention the name of the restaurant right now, but there's one restaurant you go eat, and you might see Roy Williams go in there to pick up a takeout.
Right.
Like I did recently.
Right.
And, you know, I actually, you know, went up and had a subtle conversation with him. And you know, but he doesn't want to be, you know, besieged by people all the time. You know, he's off.
Right, exactly.
Know. So, and Dean Smith used to do the same thing, you know,
right.
at certain restaurants around. But Woody, the crazy thing is, well, not crazy, but the thing is that anytime, I was always struck by anytime I was out of town or met somebody from out of town, I was in another part of the state,
mm-hmm.
and we'd have a conversation about, you know, hey, what do you do for a living? What do you do for a living? And people would find out that Woody did the sports on the morning show.
Mm-hmm.
You work with Woody Durham?
Woody Durham, right.
Yeah, I mean, like, Woody was God.
Yeah.
I mean, and like, instantly,
right.
my credibility went up 1,000% because I worked with Woody Durham.
Right.
You know.
So you got an upgrade in the restaurant immediately. You just stop at the maitre d' and say, look, I don't want to, you know, throw anything around here too much, but, you know, I work with Woody Durham, so
that never happened.
You might want to give me the best table in this restaurant. Just saying.
That never happened, but I tell that story to illustrate what an impact he had on everybody. I mean,
it's just, you know, and really, you think about radio announcers calling sports in particular, and that people may enjoy listening to their team and all that, but there are not many announcers that you necessarily are kind of these go-to signature names.
Oh, yeah.
Vin Scully, you know, with the Dodgers. And for me, Woody Durham is up there with Scully. I mean, I just think that they're both, you know, these absolutely amazingly perfect fit for everything about the team or in this case, the school that he's calling for. And,
Woody Carolina.
Yeah, just the greatest. So we love you, Woody. We hope you're doing well. And
And his son, by the way, is Chip off the old block.
I know. I saw him the other day on TV, and I said, holy cow, I thought cloning was illegal.
Yeah, and Wes, I used to call, when Woody and I were working together, I used to call sometimes Woody's house, you know, to tell him something or to ask him something. And
his son answered the phone.
Wes would answer the phone, and I thought it was Woody.
Right. Right.
You know, I would say, I'd launch right into the conversation and say, Woody, we need to do so-and-so and so-and-so, and can you tell me what this means? And, you know, Wes would say, hold on, Ron, let me get Dad.
Yeah. You know, my younger son has to do that all the time with my husband.
Really?
He'll answer the phone and okay, and okay, you know what? I think probably you're going to want to tell my dad that, and he'll hand the phone over. And
that's funny.
And, you know, it's really extra funny when it's me on the other end of the phone.
Yeah.
Because I can't tell them apart on the phone.
Yeah,
you would
really
think I'd be able to.
You would think so.
Yeah. I mean, there should be clues.
That's
like, and, you know, he'll be like, you know, especially if I'm like,
Mom.
Oh, honey, do you want to, you know. Yeah, and he's like, okay, Mom, I'm going to gouge my eyes out now, so we need to stop talking about this.
Yeah, really?
Yeah. tell me about the first time you met Dean Smith.
First time I met him? Oh, wow. I'm not really sure I remember the first time I met him, but let me just say that he was a wonderful human being.
Yeah.
He never forgot a name once he met you.
Much bigger than his job.
Always remember him. Yeah. Always remember your name.
Yeah.
And I just had the ultimate respect for him. He was such a nice guy and so much more than a basketball coach.
Right. Such an utterly decent human being.
Yeah, he was.
I mean, I never had the pleasure. I knew, and I suppose, arguably know, therefore, his wife a little bit. Linnea and I served on the Human Relations Commission for a time together.
Yeah.
But such a man, such an utterly decent person.
And let me try to compress this into like a minute and a half.
Yeah.
I got a funny story involving Linnea and Dean. I remember when I used to have, this is probably dangerous to even talk about it these days, but I used to have this collection of Playboy magazines years ago. And, you know, they were packed away in boxes in a closet.
Right. Where they belong.
Well, that's where they were, in big cardboard boxes. Uh-huh. And I was saving them. I guess I was going to try and sell the collection at some point or something. Uh-huh. And my wife, Beverly, made me promise that when our son was born, that I would get rid of him.
Okay.
Okay. And so Zach was born in 1985.
Okay.
Early 85. So I put an ad in the Village Advocate at that time.
Oh, boy.
And said, almost complete selection of – or collection of Playboy magazines for sale. And, you know – I put it in there. Did not put my name, but my phone number. Okay. One night, phone rings, and the person on the other end says, "You have a collection of Playboy magazines, and I'm interested in them." And I'm dying because I knew who it was.
It was Linnea
Smith.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. And because she did research on all that kind of thing.
Yes, she did.
And she basically recognized me too. And we both, I was trying to disguise my voice, trying very hard.
Good luck with that. Yeah.
We recognized each other. And then we had a big laugh about it. And then she said, "Well, I'm wondering, Ron, if you would be interested in donating these magazines for my research." And I said, very quick thinking here, I think, "Well, I promised that I would use the money to start my son's college education fund."
Good save.
I think I ended up selling them to her for $150,
wow,
which was not much because they were probably worth a whole lot more than that.
Right.
But we made arrangements
that somebody
I was going to bring them up to the radio station and have them
oh
in
my
car.
Goodness. Oh, my goodness.
And then Linnea was going to come to the station and get them. And I'll never forget. She had she came into the radio station and she was driving a Cadillac at the time.
Of course.
And opened up the trunk, and I'm taking all the boxes out for her, which are quite heavy, and loading them in the back of the car. And we've always enjoyed each other since then. I mean, she's such a nice woman.
Yeah.
And the funny thing is that I always imagine Dean helping her get those boxes out of the car.
Saying, "Where did you get these?"
I never asked him about it or anything, but I just imagine him carrying them into the house.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. And her saying, you know, it's laundry detergent. Don't look in the boxes. You don't
exactly.
Know what that
so,
is.
Anyway, I've never told that story to very many people, but
was hilarious.
Okay,
well, it's out now, baby.
Yeah, it's out there. But I always thought that was really funny.
Well, that is very funny. Yeah. And, you know, boy, would that be out there. Well, that's just that the mind wanders about where that could go today.
Yeah, yeah. And I'm thinking maybe, you know, Coach Smith might have gotten a couple of players to unload the boxes or whatever and take them
inside.
Yeah,
and a couple of them could have fallen off the truck, as
they say. Some of those boxes were really heavy.
Yeah, they were. They were.
So, anyway, Linnea,
in more ways than one.
Sorry to tell that story.
In more ways than one. And love you, love your research, love your work.
Yeah, and Coach Smith, always ultimate respect.
Just the greatest. Well, that's a great story. I'm so glad to have captured that story. Here on the Weekend Water Cooler, we're going to take a quick break and step aside and let that one just wash over us for a moment. And, you know, well...
Just for the record, I would not have a collection of Playboys these days. I was very young back then.
Yeah, he's saying that now, but, you know, that's partly because the pictures aren't in there anymore. So I'm just gonna mention that.
You know what I mean.
I know what you mean.
Things have changed.
You do grow out of things.
Yeah.
It's a good thing.
It's true.
He's a grown man, and he's grown out of that. I'm glad to hear that. And we're going to take a quick break here on the Water Cooler. You're listening to 97.9 The Hill. Okay, we're back. We're talking with Ron Stutz. The one, the only, Ron John
A lot of people are saying that right now.
Rock and Ron. You know, everybody's going to use that now.
They're glad it was
that's
the one and only.
That's just out there in the open, and you can't run away from it. So
oh, yeah,
there's going to be a crowd of people who are going to try to trick you into thinking that they are Phil. and then you're not going to know what you're going to do.
Yeah, exactly. I'm going to be not instead of looking for a no-look pass.
That's right. So
I'm going to be confused.
So I'm going to give you my pop quiz at the end of the show. I know you can't wait for that. It's kind of like my version of the kids' cue. It's even better.
Okay.
So my next question has to do with over the course of working in local radio.
Okay.
You must have 100 examples, probably more, of great local radio anecdotes. And by this, I mean you can't believe this crazy thing that happened at our station.
Yeah.
Some of these probably have to do with weather because, you know, there's just no substitute for local radio when there's a weather event, especially the kind of crazy weather events that we get that, you know, in Hillsborough, it's snow, in Chapel Hill, it's ice, in Chatham, it's rain, and all of this is going on in your listening area, and you have to stratify how you're describing the weather on the same day at the same time live. No pressure, right? I remember driving home from dropping off my son at Grady Brown Elementary School in Hillsborough, and the conditions changed between the time I dropped him at school and the time I was about two-thirds of the way to my house. I was getting off of I-40, and the off-ramp iced up while I was there.
Wow.
And I said, okay, well, they're going to be closing school. And I had CHL on the radio, of course. Mm-hmm. What else would I have on the radio?
I can't imagine.
I drove across the bridge, got right back on the road, just went right back to the school because I absolutely knew not only that was the school going to close, but that it was going to close pretty soon, and it was only going to get worse because mm-hmm. we knew that the temperature would be falling. And sure enough, I got off the highway. I went over the overpass. By the time I was back on the highway on the on-ramp, CHL was saying, if you're dropping your kids off at school, you might want to swing around and pick them up because, you know, because that's how it is. And man, you've really got to be – when you do this kind of work that you do, especially in the drive time in the morning mm-hmm. – you have to be able to fly by the seat of your pants all the time, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
You have clothes made to fly by the seat of your pants.
No.
That's a picture, isn't it?
You have to. No, nobody wants to picture
nobody
that.
Nobody wants that picture. Okay.
Yeah. You have to wing it a lot and go with the flow.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, go with the flow. That's the main thing.
And
I mean,
have people call in and help you out.
Have to adjust.
So here's what's going on.
People don't call like they used to. You know, now there's so much access to the internet and our website and everything else.
Right.
And phones used to ring off the hook, you know, when schools are closing and all that kind of thing. But it is phenomenal. I mean, what really gets you going through situations like that is the fact that people are really counting on you for information that they can't get anyplace else.
That's right.
Basically, I mean, I remember
up and down the dial, it's all stuff that's churned out of somewhere else.
Yeah, exactly. Right. Yeah, and if you want to know what's going on locally in our community, local news, weather, traffic, whatever the case may be, if you're not listening to WCHL, there's no way you're going to get that.
Right.
I don't care.
That's
You know, I don't care about saying that. It's true. And I remember the ice storm of 2002.
Right.
And there were people literally, I mean, I was on the air for a very, very long time. And everybody was really working hard trying to inform people about where they could get firewood and, you know, what roads were closed and when these people were going to get their power back.
Yeah.
I mean, it was a horrible situation.
It was a bad, bad storm.
And I remember one time being so tired. Sitting in the control room on the air, and I remember somebody was right next to me handing me notes, you know, of things that were closed or new announcements that were coming in.
Right.
And I remember I was in the middle of an announcement about where you could get firewood on Martin Luther King Boulevard, which was, I guess it was
the Airport Road,
at that time. Right. And I was in the middle of it. And you can get firewood. And I fell asleep on the air.
Oh,
and
God.
The person next to me nudged me real quick and said, "On Airport Road, right now, there's a truck." You know, and I was able to pick up the thought process somehow. But
you know, there are.
My grandmother used to do that, fall asleep in the middle of a sentence and,
really?
then she'd wake up, you know, in a moment and just finish the sentence.
Well, that was just fatigue.
I never understood that. Yeah.
That was just fatigue.
That
was just
straight up
fatigue. Really exhausted.
Yeah.
And, you know, there have been times when I've had to spend the night at the radio station because I wasn't sure that I'd be able to get in. And other people have done the same thing. And, you know, that tradition continues to this day because, you know, people are dedicated to their jobs here.
Yeah.
I mean, we have people who will be there no matter what. And I'll tell you, if you're listening in the afternoon, anytime, whether it's bad weather, good weather, whatever, if you want to know what's going on in the community, Aaron Keck.
He's the guy.
He's your man.
Who's smarter than Aaron Keck?
Nobody.
Nobody.
He's the smartest guy in the room, no matter where he is.
No matter what room he's in.
Yeah,
that's
He's amazing.
I'm so glad he's not sitting here because, you know.
Oh, he would be.
Because he would be unembarrassed by this.
Yeah, he.
Of course, I tell him that all the time, and I mean it. I mean it. I mean, look, I know plenty of really wicked smart people.
Yeah.
And he's absolutely, he's not just well educated. He's smart. He's able to apply it.
If you want to know what's going on with local government or policies or anything happening at the university or anything having to do with politics or human rights, whatever the case may be, I mean, you'll find out about it on the Aaron Keck Show.
That's
because he talks to you on a regular basis.
Yes, plus
he talks to the mayors.
Yes.
He talks to all these people who are involved in making the news. And Aaron Keck he's a really smart guy.
And listen, if you don't believe us, just ask Aaron Keck sometime about the North Carolina redistricting process.
Oh, yeah.
And the maps.
Yeah.
And where everything is on these court cases. He has an encyclopedic knowledge of this.
Yes, he does.
And I just marvel at this and think that, you know, he's programmed from computers. I don't know how he does it.
And he's such a good guy too. And
he's been here for that one package.
He's been here a pretty good while, you know, which is another thing I like. And you know, I'm really happy to work with him every day. And we have a good crew around here.
Yeah, you do.
We really do. I mean, good. This what I started out to say, and I got sidetracked, which
I can't
never happened
it.
Before.
I don't know.
Is the fact that, I mean, this commitment to the community, to serving the community in every way possible, continues to this day.
Yep.
And I'm so happy with that because that's what gets me up in the morning.
Yeah.
The fact that, you know, you're going to be able to go to work and you might actually be able to, one Wayne Pond word, ameliorate. You might actually be able to make somebody's day better.
That's right.
And that's what inspires me to come to work all the time.
Well, that was going to be my next question. What is it that gets you out of bed in the morning?
An alarm
whatever
clock.
Whatever hour that is.
Very loud alarm clock.
A very alarming alarm clock that's across the hall right now.
Exactly. Yeah, yeah. Well,
so that you'll get out of bed to go turn it off.
I have to set it and I have to put it in a place where I have to get up and walk over there. Because if I had it on a bedside table,
no,
I would never get out of bed.
Nobody would wake up with Ron
Stutz in the
morning.
I would just hit the snooze button and I would be gone. But I, you know, I get out of bed to do that. And, you know, I tell you, I mean, sometimes, you probably know, sometimes when you wake up early in the morning, after you pass the age of 29, let's say.
Yeah, which is a while ago for
and
both
I know
of
it
us,
was just a few weeks ago for you.
you know,
you get out of bed and like every part of your body hurts.
Every part of your body is
saying, talking about me now.
Oh, no, you're not. No, you're not getting out of this. This is a warm bed.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
You're not even really going to turn over.
Yeah.
That's how it is. That's how it is in my body in the mornings.
I mean,
I'm
like, you know, sometimes it actually hurts to walk to the bathroom and get in the shower.
Uh-huh.
But
or even think about it.
Once I take a shower.
Yeah, the shower
fixes
a lot of stuff.
Yeah. I'm okay. And by the time I get to work, I'm ready to go.
You're ready. Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
I don't know what it is, but
it's the power
and
of
water.
I'm not really
a natural morning person. I mean, on the weekends. You know, if allowed to sleep and I don't have anything to do, I can sleep till 11 o'clock.
Sleep into 5:30,
noon.
6 o'clock.
You know, I mean, seriously. They say you can't catch up on sleep. I lose sleep during the whole week, but I do catch up on the weekends, you know. But I'm not in that. You know, naturally, I'm a night owl. I mean, if I had my way.
This makes no sense.
If I didn't have this job, I'd be up till 3 o'clock in the morning and sleep till noon every day.
Right.
You know, but it doesn't work out that way. And how I ended up having an early morning job all these years?
It's all an accident.
I don't know.
It's an accident.
I don't know how that happened.
We're going to come back in just a minute. We're going to explain the final piece of the puzzle of this accident that is Ron Stutz's career at WCHL.
You sure you want to hear this?
It's just really difficult to explain, but we're going to have slightly more than 3 minutes to do it. So stay with us. We're going to be right back. You're listening to 97.9 The Hill. Okay, we've raced back in the room. We're finishing up here with our closing moments with Ron Stutz. And, you know, I have 100 other questions to ask you. We could do, you know, volume 7 of this interview, and we'd still be going. But I do want to ask because, you know, you give everything to the station. It seems to me like you never go home. And I want to ask you for just a moment to talk to our listeners a little bit about your wonderful wife, Bev. You've been married for 35 years, correct?
Yep, exactly.
And you told me off the air that she's an engineer or a genius or an astronaut or something. Tell me what she does.
She's probably going to be embarrassed when she hears this. She's a mechanical engineer with Underwriters Laboratories.
She's a mechanical engineer, and you're the creation she came up with?
Yeah. That's pretty sad, isn't it?
She's the reason I should not put a toaster in the bathtub with me, right?
UL is the company that has, first of all, it's a massive company, but they have these symbols, you know, the UL symbol in a circle. And you might see it on a toaster or an appliance or whatever. But what she does is fall protection, which means ropes, harnesses, that sort of thing that firefighters, especially helmets, boots, all that kind of thing that firefighters and emergency responders use. And she is involved in the process of making sure that all those things are certified to survive a certain level of heat or stress or whatever the case may be.
Or moisture or whatever.
And
right.
she actually, you know, I mean, she works sometimes closely with firefighters and all this sort of thing. I mean, it really is cool what she does. And she went back to school. She had a degree already in political science, but she went back to school at the age of 40 with two fairly young kids.
Which was last week, right, Bev? That's what we're saying.
That's what we're saying. And she went to engineering school, and she became a mechanical engineer. Now she works for UL and does really important life or death kind of work, whereas I just talk. So, you know, lots of times people come up to me because they've heard me on the radio or whatever, and they want to talk about, you know, my career and what I do for a living. And I always try to shift the conversation over to her because the stuff she does is really, really, you know, like I said, life-saving
sometimes. It's life-saving stuff.
Right? And, you know, if you want somebody to talk, okay, I'm your guy. I can do that. But, you know.
But I'm going to talk about her, so
she's
that's
a lot
what's
smarter
going to happen.
She's a lot smarter than I am.
Well, you know, you surround yourself with brilliant people like Aaron Keck and your lovely wife, and I congratulate you on that achievement because having great people around you is part of what gives you a great life, and I think you've had a pretty good life.
Yeah, Bev is the most talented woman in the world. My kids, Zach is 33 and lives in Oregon, and Cam is 26 and now lives in Wilmington, and I have another daughter I'm not going to say her name her age because Kathy would probably not want me to put that on the radio, but but she lives in Cary.
I've got a
good life.
Everybody's happy and healthy and doing great, and fantastic.
I can't really complain, you know. Well, a lot of good friends, a lot of people I work with, and it's a good life.
And your job is fun, and
I'm having a blast now.
Yeah, and so
I get a chance to play music on the radio. What could be better than that?
That's right. And tell people when the roads are bad and they ought to stay home, even though you just got in the car and came to work.
Yeah.
Yeah. So do as Ron says and not as he does.
Exactly.
That's your motto, right? That's what's going on the next tattoo. Do as I say, not as I do. I think that's a good one. Although we talked before about maybe peace and love on one arm and rock and roll on the other.
Yeah. Well, I got the last part covered, but. You know,
yeah, so that's
I work
good.
On the others.
Well, Ron Stutz, thank you for joining me on the water cooler. Please come back often.
Yeah, hey, we could do this
we could do this once a month if you
forever.
Like.
Yeah, we could sit down and talk. Let it roll.
Yeah, we could do that. We could have the Let It Roll. That'd be another show.
Yeah.
Here on WCHL.
You got it, Gene. Thank you so much for having me. You're a great host.
Well, thank you. You're so sweet. You're so sweet.
And you can pay me later.
Are tens and twenties okay? Or, I just wanted to.
Or you can just send me a check.
All right. Everybody have a great weekend.
Follow Gene on Twitter @GeneBolduc and tweet your comments and questions with the hashtag WCHL.